Well, we'll pick up where we left off last week, and that's from the book of 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. And I want you to read it with me, if you will. It says, "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." And then it takes us to a whole other place. "Do everything in love." The thought here, if you will, I believe, is that you can stand firm in your faith and be courageous, but yet you can do it in love. Y'all got that? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the young people that are here today. So continue to speak to them and use them in an amazing way. Get the glory out of their lives. We love you with all of our hearts. Speak to us today. That's our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. God's been good to you. Why don't you give him a real good praise today? He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. I also want to thank the educators, too. I see the DeVos coming in. They said, "Pastor, you just saw us." Yeah, I did. And I thank God for all the educators that we have, teachers and administrators and principals and all those assistants and even the bus, not even, the bus drivers and ones that do anything to do with kids. Would you do me a favor and put your hands together for them as well? I also thank God and welcome our Outer Park campus and all those that are joining us online. We appreciate you and those that have been watching us via the Department of Corrections. You are indeed a part of our family. Part of our family is there now ministering to you. So, and you told me you'd be watching, so I told you I'd give a shout out to you. Put your hands together for all those that are watching via streaming. We've been talking about the book of Daniel, from the book of Daniel, speaking in terms of the exile and the Babylonian captivity. I want you to know that it wasn't God's best for Judah to go to captivity, but sometimes when you don't follow God's plan, God's purpose, we get off. And when you get off, there's always repercussions. There's always consequences for doing your own thing. Can I get a witness? And they ended up 70 years in the Babylonian captivity. But I think there was something, as I read this passage, that shares with us that God can yet use you even in a situation where, you know, you're off. God can still get the glory out of your life. And it just absolutely amazes me to know that God can take where you are and change things around. And Babylonian was a place that they needed an influence. They needed a light, because the very word Babel is where we get from, you know, we get it from Babylon or Babel or confusion, because it was a place of confusion. When I look at our world today, you know, we see, you know, our world killing the innocent, mass incarceration. Even our school children, they have to sometimes go through metal detectors before they go into the school and sometimes be wand. I was going to the other day to the graduation, and man, they do the same thing and want to check and make sure. You know, we live in a world of confusion. Can I get a witness? You know, there's a debate over whether children, you know, whether the school should pass out condoms, and I'm not up here to talk about that, but just know that there is a state of confusion. That was not the case when I was growing up. Alcohol and drug abuse and deterioration of the families and even nuclear war and the talk. And you hear, you know, Russia and North Korea and America talking about some of the arms that they have. And when I look at the things that are taking place, and many of them are anti-God, and if they're not anti-God, many of them are polytheists. So, which means they have or believe in many gods, and I talk about that sometimes to them and talk to them about what the Bible says. And many times they say, "Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You know, you don't have a clue. You study the Bible and yada yada yada." And I begin to think to myself, "Well, maybe I'm not sophisticated enough to understand. Maybe not. But one thing that I do know is that the world is in a state of confusion, and they need someone that has an understanding, and the only understanding that we can get, that we can stand firmly on, is God's word." Can I get a witness? because all the other stuff is going to fall. You know, I love that passage where it talks about, it's actually a song. It says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other grounds help me out are sinking. And we see that today like never before. So my first point, and I want to just bring it today, it's that we are called to stand in a world of confusion. It's very important. Say it with me. We're called to stand in a world of confusion. See, because we recognize the world is off, we recognize they do some crazy things, and they say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. You're not sophisticated enough. Well, let me just share with you about sophistication. So we're talking about children today. You know, there's a story that I'm reminded of. It's the story of the emperor and the swindlers who made some phony clothes. They was cheap. They was real cheap clothes. And then there was the kid. But anyway, the emperor said he wanted a new outfit. So the swindler said, we're going to make you an outfit. And the outfit can only be seen by those that are sophisticated, deep, and heavy, and so forth and so on. So they made the outfit. And they were just, you know, sewing and working. They brought it to him. And everybody around was like saying, well, we don't see any clothes. And they said, oh, you've got to be really, really smart. You've got to really, really good looking to see these clothes. So he acted like he put them on and paraded around naked in front of everybody. And then there was a child that says, you know, point, I can see him right now pointing. He naked. He don't have no clothes on. Everybody's like, shh, shh. Can I let you know that I think that there's some children today saying, these grown-ups don't know what, I won't say what I was going to say, these grown-ups don't know what's going on. Sometimes the White House don't know what's going on. Our government, you know, the decisions they make, they don't know what's going on. And it's up to us to recognize and just open our mouths. We may not be as sophisticated, we might say, well, listen, that doesn't make any sense. That's some babble, that's confusion, that's actually psychobabble. And God has correction, clear correction, and wisdom in his word, if you would just turn to his word. Can I get a witness in the house? Somebody say amen in this place. Hallelujah. And it's going to get better before it gets worse. I was at the hospital just the other day, my brother and I, Dr. Doss, and we were visiting, and we came down, and, you know, we ate and went to, I was on my way to the restroom. You said, too much information. Well, it ain't over yet. And I, you know, had the bathroom. We had to walk a long way. Then went over there. And, yeah, because I have to double check, make sure it says male, man, men, and women, you know. And I walked into, I looked both ways because I always check, you know. So I went in, and it said men. And I went in, and there was a woman in there. And kind of blew me away for a minute. I'm thinking like, So I walked out, and I saw my brother. He said, why, did you already? I said, no, I'm cool. But man, there's a woman in there. And he looked at me and said, are you sure? I said, I know what I saw. And so I said, I'm just going to wait until she come out. And well, she eventually came out, and she was so red-faced. And she says, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I thought that was a women's restroom. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because I thought something else had gone on. I thought they'd passed legislation. She said, you're not mad. No, I'm not mad. Hallelujah. I was praising God in the hospital. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because we're called to stand up in a world that is confused. The Bible says you are the light of the world. And we're the ones that sit on the hill. You know, we're the ones that can't be hid. Why? They need to see us. Standing for God takes courage. We talked about that a little bit last week. And it's important to know that. Say it with me. Standing for God takes courage. You know, doing the right thing, the strength, have the strength to face danger in the very midst of all this going on. And standing for God also takes faith. And we want to elaborate. If you want to go back to it last week, you can certainly do that. Because we recognize faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. And on that note, I also want to thank God for one of our missionaries that left here in faith and in courage to go to Kenya. He's going to be sharing this coming Wednesday night. Stand up, give me a wave if you will. Mark, if you will. Thank God for him. He's going to be sharing this coming Wednesday night. Some of the experiences that and how we can help. You know, we're talking about standing for God takes faith, it takes courage, because sometimes everybody's not going to agree. But when he left, I remember him telling me, he says, Pastor Doss, I really feel led that I'm to leave here and go to Africa. I said, you do? And I wanted to actually check his temperature at the time. But he let me know that's what he wants to do, and that's what God had placed in his heart. And now he's been there for how many years now, Mark? He's been there for a while. Hallelujah. Now put your hands together for him one more time. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say even this coming Wednesday. Standing for God, you know, your stand for God also inspires others. And this is what constantly reminds me that it's not just about you. We were at the restaurant this week. My daughter and I, my Shalita, Dion's wife and I, were at the restaurant. And we were praying, and we just prayed for the food. And then Shalita just felt led to pray for the restaurant. And as she prayed for the restaurant, at the end of the day, when we were getting ready, end of our meal, getting ready to leave, the restaurant owner comes over and he says, hey, I just want to introduce myself. I heard you all praying for the restaurant. It really blessed me. They told me that this restaurant was haunted and it wouldn't do any good. But if I have people coming in and praying, you know, like this, I know we're going to do well. And he said, I want to take a picture of you. I mean, it went on just because someone was praying for the establishment that they were there. Not praying aloud, just praying at the table and people are listening. Do you know people are watching you wherever you go? They're watching what you say. They're watching how you react to certain things. I want you to know that God wants you to inspire others in your stand for God. Somebody give God glory and praise in this house. But in all that we're doing, and all that we're doing in this stand, I know that some people, you know, we're talking about, you know, Pastor, you talk about standing and we got to stand strong. And that is true, but can I let you know that in all the standing we do, and I came from a Pentecostal church, very strong, you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't wear pants, you know, I mean, women, you don't, you gotta, hair is your glory, don't cut it. I mean, all kind of stuff. Don't wear no big earrings, because earrings are hell bells, the big ones especially, you know, rings on your feet. I mean, I grew up strict. Can I get a witness? Any of you all been to a strict church? So I had to pull off a lot of that stuff. I had to pull off a lot of stuff because sometimes I would take on the attitude that you're not right based upon where you came from, where you're going, and I don't like what you're doing, and you're not as holy as we are because we do it a certain way, and you don't do it like we do it. Am I okay today? Uh-huh. So standing doesn't mean that you have to be mean and rude to everybody else and look down at everybody else. Did you all get that? So when we take a stand, whether it's for whatever right it's for, we've got to stand in love. That's my next, and that's going to be talking about just a short time that I'm up here. Say it with me, I need to stand how? In love. So not just trying to argue every point and try to argue my point, but I've got to do what? Stand in love. Now, if you stand in love in your house, it makes a difference. If you stand in love with your children, it makes a difference. When you stand in love with your boss, instead of being, you know, always, well, he ain't doing it right, and I ain't going to fight, that is not the right way to do it. Amen. Are y'all still with me today? Yes. Daniel 3:6. Let me show you how Daniel had favor with all three kings. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, served under him. He served under Belshazzar. He served also under Darius. And look what the man, what they say to him, and this is the NIV, it says, Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king did what? He said, Daniel, you are so good. You're excellent. I like what the King James Version says. It says that he was excellent. He had an excellent spirit. How many of you all know that you can still do well even when your boss don't think the same way you think? Did you get that? They may be total unbelievers, but they may just be going a whole wrong way, but you can do what you do in excellence. You can have an excellent spirit about what you do so much that it will impact them. You know, so oftentimes, you know, we take the attitude of, I guess it would be Aunt Esther. What does Aunt Esther do? She actually has, like, y'all don't know Aunt Esther. Sanford and Son. She would come over with a Bible and she would say, "You heathens, you heathen, you need to get saved. You need to go to church." Do you think that brings anybody to get to know God? And some of us have that same attitude. "You heathen, you rascal, you just a no good rascal." And they expect that to win someone. But I tell you, Bible says, "With love and kindness have I." You know, how many of you all know that we can win so many people to Christ if we learn how to love them and maintain our stance, but stand in love? Somebody give God one more praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him a big praise. Here's a passage that we go to on a regular basis. I've done several weddings this year. I'll probably do several more. But almost every wedding we have this particular passage. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. And I like this passage because it talks about love and it talks about what happens without love. So let's look at it, see if we can break it down. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have," help me out, "love, I am only a," or a. So I tried to break it down to where we can understand. It says, without love, what I say is not effective. I can say a whole lot of stuff, open my mouth, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, a lot of people, sometimes even Christians, talk a whole lot, but there's what they say and what they do don't match. Are you with me today? So without love, what I say is not effective. And that's a note. You can write that down as well. And it says also, you know, without love, what I know is insignificant. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3 and 2. It simply says this. It says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all," I like this. Okay, they switch versions on me. Two, not 3, 2, verse 13 and 2. They'll have the right one in just a minute. There you go. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith to move mountains, but do not have love, I am what? I'm nothing." Can I let you know that people don't necessarily care about how much you know. They want to know how much you care. If we're going to win the world today and God is calling and the world is crying out, they're saying, "Hey, we need saving. We need help. We know we're messed up." Some of them say that because the Bible declares that the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. But what happens many times, not you, of course, there are some, though, that say, "Well, I'm a prophet. I'm prophetic and I know mysteries and I can take you to the deep things of God." Do you think they care how deep you can be? It's getting quiet in the deep section. I took Greek. I took Hebrew. I took Aramaic. You know, I know how to, you know, use homiletics and so forth and so on. Man, people don't care about that. They want to know, can you help me through where I am right now? Can you help me get over the situation? Can you bring deliverance to my situation? Are you with me today? Not how many scriptures you can quote. Can you help me through this? Is there power still in the church? Are you with me today? Somebody ought to give God praise if you know what I'm talking about. It says, so what I know without love, what I know is insignificant. Also, in the second verse, it says, I can have faith that I can move mountains. And this is certainly to the Abundant Faith Church, because if anybody has faith, we ought to be able to have faith. Can I get a witness? Because we're the Abundant Faith Church. You know, I look at some of the things that we've accomplished and thank God for some of them, and we accomplish them by faith. But can I let you know that everything we've ever done has been based upon the motive of love? Love is the reason we had faith. Why would we have faith without love? Because if you have faith without love, you get caught up in flesh, in yourself. You know, I remember the first time that, you know, we began ministry. It was only because there were people that didn't have anything to eat, and we wanted to start a food pantry. And even before that, some people from Gateway, is how our church began, was meeting at the house as we just taught simple principles about faith, hope, and love. And one of my guys that was there, Calvin, who's still part of the church, is interesting. That was 26 years ago. And he brought them to the house. He says, I want you to hear the gospel message. We're just sitting down and breaking the word open. Why? Because we wanted a ministry? Absolutely not. Just because we love people enough to tell them the truth. How many of you all know that God can use simple acts of obedience to bring glory to his name? When I think about those individuals said, man, we heard the gospel message. We want to get saved. And then someone else says, we want to get saved. And then they begin to tell other people. The next thing you know, there was more than 20 people meeting in our house. And then my wife said, it's time for you all to find a location. I want you to know the Bible says, he that winneth souls must be wise. Maybe instead of us doing the Aunt Esther and beating them over the head with the word, maybe it's time that we can show them love and stand on love, not compromising, but stand on love and love them into the kingdom of God. Somebody give God praise in this house. I said, without love, not only is what I say not effective and what I know insignificant, but what I believe is insufficient. Man, that's a scary looking. I hope she don't come out of there. We hope we have Aunt Esther's in the house. Hallelujah. But can you imagine that, the church coming at people? Get saved. Stop, put them cigarettes down. Stop getting high. Put that alcohol down. You know you drunk. You know you got to, are you hanging out with the wrong people? They get tired of y'all beating them down. Not y'all, but the other folks. It's time that we speak the truth how in love. Speak the truth in love and then win them, because that's what Daniel did. So therefore, it says, without love, what I say is ineffective. What I know is not impressive. And that is certainly, sometimes we get so impressed, easily impressed with ourselves. And what I believe is, it's insufficient. It's really not enough. Because of all I do, and I can just tell you about, you know, how much faith I have and how deep I am, that's not enough to win the people to God. They want to know, do you care about us? Let me ask the question, how much do we care about people? How much do we care about our neighbors? How much do we care about our schoolmates? If we care about them, we'll want to be an example before them. We'll not only want to be an example before them, we'll want to share the gospel with them. When that time comes, we won't be beating them over the head, because the gospel is a message of love. If you believe that, give God praise in this house. Thank you, Lord. Without love, what I give is incomplete. Because this passage says, I can give all that I have to the poor, and I can even give them my body, you know, but that's incomplete. And it goes on and says, you know, I can even not only give of my body, but I can give of everything that I have. And if I do it and my heart's not right, you know, it's still inadequate. I want you to know that God is calling us to love people. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Regardless of what they did to you, God's called us to love them. Daniel was in captivity. He was in the Babylonian bondage, if you will. And then still, he had a good attitude. How many of you all know people get very a lot farther in life if you got a good attitude? Man, I could stay here for a while. My kids, having all three of them, man, with a good attitude, they could get almost anything they need from dad. Bad attitude, you sit down until you get a good one. Well, dad, so-and-so got that. That is no reason to come to me like that. Hallelujah. And I put some bass in my voice, too. Go sit down. I wonder, is God sometimes looking at us and says, you know, you need to go get your attitude right? Say, well, you've got me under the wrong person, and you got me under this bad king. Regardless of what the king is like, you serve and you give your best, and you watch, even in the midst of a situation that's terrible, you watch me elevate you and grant you supernatural favor. Even on your job. Somebody give God praise. I'm letting you know that he will do it. It's what happened to Daniel. Thank you, Jesus. I give him praise. I give him glory. So let me bring some closure here. Well, I can't close without saying that rest of that verse. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-serving, it's not easily angered. It keeps, this is one I really like, help me read it. It keeps what? Isn't that amazing? You all sometimes need to remind your friends of that. Because it says, I know I said some stuff last week, but guess what? The love that you have, not that you're going to continue to do it, but the love that you have, the agape love, keeps no record of wrong done to it. How many of us need to work on that? Man, that's one of my things, because I've got a good memory. I do. I can remember good. You know, especially if it's been wronged against me. Because I was remembering things that happened to me when I was a kid. You know, so-and-so, yeah, but look at them now. But forget all that stuff. Don't even keep the record of the wrong. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love does not delight in evil, but and then it goes on this. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And I just, this last, it says, love never fails. Say it with me, love never fails. As I end, this is what God has been putting on my heart because of the importance of us reaching the world and knowing that our world needs to be reached. And if it's going to be touched, it's only going to be by the believers, those Christ followers. And we are Christ followers. And when I think of one of the best examples, I think of the book of John, the 4th chapter. It talks about when Jesus had a need to go by Samaria. And as he went there, it was about the 6th hour, around noon. He saw the woman of Samaria there drawing water. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink. It's interesting. He's talking to her and she recognized that it wasn't natural or normal for Samaritan to have conversation with Jews. And she says, well, you know, how is it that me being a Samaritan and you being a Jew talking to me? Because that is not supposed to happen, because this is Jacob's well, even though Jacob's well was where they went to go kick it, hang out, and meet people. And she had obviously met some other guys there before, but Jesus was never like that, because how he looked at her wasn't like, you know, some guy trying to pick up a woman. He didn't look at her from the neck down. He looked at her. In fact, he looked through her and saw her heart. Let me say it one more time. He looked past her faults and all the stuff on the outside and saw what she needed. How many of you know that to be a Christ follower, God wants us to do the same thing? Look past how their hair looks. Look past how what outfit they're wearing. They may not have a suit. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter what the breath is like. You know, man, we're looking past all of that and seeing what a person needs. And the truth be known is the world is hurting. Can I get a witness? The world is hurting, and God is calling the church to rise up and be Christ followers and make a difference. Not simply have church, but touch lives. Somebody give God a praise in this place. She says, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, and she says, you know, and you asked me to give you a drink? And then he says, and I like this, he says to the woman, if you knew who I was and what I possessed, if you just knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink, and I'd give you something you never have to thirst again. And she was in the flesh, well, that sounds good, sir. Well, give me some of that water, because if that water never have to thirst again, that's the kind of water I want. She said, here's my bucket. Fill it up. He said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of water. I'm talking about that water on the inside of us, that water that'll fill you when you're feeling low, when you're feeling depressed, that kind of that living water that'll bring life from the inside of you. And then I like what he says to her. He goes on and he says, well, you know, she said, I want some of that water. He said, well, do this. Go home, get your husband, and then come back. She said, get my husband? What you talking about, Willis? And then she says, I have no husband, she replied. And then Jesus says, well, you are right. And this is amazing, too, because Jesus is able to look beyond all the facades that we have. All the facades, because people want to make you think everything is perfect all the time. Oh, I'm good. I'm straight. You know, I'm well. Man, inside weeping and wanting to just fall out and just cry and say, I need your help. You know, can we be the Jesus Christ to somebody? Can we show them the love? Can we reach out to them and recognize that I don't care where you are, what you're going through, you don't have to cover up because we see through that facade. Help us, Holy Spirit. So you're right to say you have no husbands, but this is a fact. You have five husbands. Five? And the man you're with is not your. Now, how many of you all know that you could say that like Esther? Or you could say it like Jesus? Aunt Esther, I'm sure y'all help me out later on. You've been living with this man, you've been with that one, you've been married all these times, and you need to get right. Does that sound familiar? Do y'all have Aunt Esther in y'all's family? Or are you Aunt Esther? No. Moving on. Jesus says to her, you said right, you have no husband, you've had five, and the one that you're with, he's not your husband either. And it blows me away that the woman then gets in the spirit. She says, whoa, sir, dude, what you on? So I see that you are a prophet. You just hit me with a prophetic word. And then she wants to get spiritual on him. And people will. That's why I go to church. I go into so-and-so. I won't say no names. Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, whatever. Non-denominational church. I'm a member. I join in XYZ year. I'm a charter member. I pay my tithes. Actually, it's tithes. But moving on. She began to dig deep, and our ancestors worship on the mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. And then the woman replies to Jesus, and she says, believe, and in fact, Jesus replied to her and says, believe, you know, the time is coming that those that worship the Lord must, you know, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about the religion, not about going through the stuff, but it's about worshiping in spirit and truth. Now, my point is this. He was able to reach her without beating her. He was able to reach her without being rude to her. He was able to let her know that, yeah, where you are, because understand, the whole message for this series is about God's amazing grace and truth, because one without the other is not enough. We've got to have grace. We love you. We care about you. We don't want you to go down this path. So I've got grace for you. But there is truth. And where you are is not where God wants you to be. Five husbands is not what God wants. God's got something better for you. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Hallelujah. And then I like this next thing. After someone has just told you what's going on inside of you, man, something begins to happen on the inside of you. Something happened on the inside of her. You begin to say, wow, I know the Christ is coming. You know, could this be? And I know Jesus says, I am he. And I can imagine that this time her dropping her pot. Bam! I got to go. I just met the Christ. And she goes back. She goes back and she tells people all about what has gone on. And I want you to know that because we've met Christ and because Christ has done a work in us, we ought to open our mouths and declare, come meet a man that's told me all about my life, changed my life, turned me around, and now I'm running for him with all my heart. The Bible says because of that woman, that city got saved. Can I let you know that we can touch Springfield when we reach out and tell somebody, come meet a man. His name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless.